back to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter number 13, and we'll deal with the subject that I had planned and prepared and was, came Sunday morning to preach on. And so before we start, this is what I need from you. Pray for God's wisdom, God's leadership, God's direction, and that God make it clear to me. But I need you. Last time I let things get loose when we had outdoor church, week in, week out. It went on for a good while. We started out and told everybody, stay in your cars. Don't be hugging and handshaking and fellowshipping, getting out of your cars. And that worked for about a service. And then slowly but surely, we might as well have been meeting inside the church because everybody was getting out of their vehicles and going from one car to the next and talking. And I understand, please know, I understand. I want to come out there and shake hands and hug necks. And I'm being reminded right now already. I already went to a vehicle to get somebody to help me do something tonight. But I need you, if we want to keep having church and be able to keep coming without canceling, please take heed to this, and when we come, if it's serious enough for me to move our services outside, then it's serious enough for us to stay in our vehicle. The restrooms are not open. The sanctuary is not going to be open except for to those who are singing and running the sound. And so please help me. Come. Be faithful to come. I'll try to keep the time short and not make you sit in your car too awful long. But if it gets to the place where people's getting out and going from car to car, and then that could lead to us having to cancel services again. And I do not want to do that. So please help me with that. And we will Lord willing, get through this sooner than later. All right? Everybody all right with that? All right, let's look at Exodus chapter number 13, verse number 21. The Bible said, "And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. The children of Israel have come out of Egypt and stepped into a place that they was not familiar with." Again, as we said Sunday morning, and I won't re-preach all of that, but they were used to being told what to do, when to do it, how to do it, where to go, what time to raise up in the morning, what time to go to bed, what to work, where to work, what to eat. So therefore, their whole life was basically them not having to be led, or them not having to have any discernment whatsoever. They were mandated and demanded, sort of like what our government today is leading us and our communist politicians are trying to get our country to. We were born and raised in a free country. Thank God for America and the liberties and the freedoms that we have and share. But quickly, we are seeing them vanish away from us, and they're wanting to get us to a place to where we don't have any sense of direction, where we will have to do as they tell us to do and go. And that's how the children of Israel had been, in captivity, in bondage. But now they're saved. Now they've been set free, and they're in a brand new atmosphere to where they're going to have to learn quick and swift on their feet to move at the direction of God. And God, such a loving and a wonderful, gracious God, that He knew that in and of themselves that they would not know which way to turn. They would not know which direction to go. And so the God of heaven, as we just read, the Bible said, "And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire. So God knew that they didn't know how to get where they were going. God knew that they would need direction and help. And so thank God he provided a cloud for them to go and to follow and to be led by. And they're not acquainted with the way to get to where they're going. And God is a loving, kind, gracious God. And He places this cloud before them in the day. And the sun, as the sun goes down, God replaces that cloud with a burning pillar of fire to give them direction. And the Bible says to lead them in the way, because they stood in need of direction. And could I just pause a moment and say, so do we. Before we were saved by the grace of God, we operated being led by the God of this world. We did that was right in our own eyes. We did and moved and went whatever way we wanted to go. It was all about what I want and what I want to do, and not even realizing. I've heard people say, well, I'm going to do what I want to do, and I'm going to go where I want to go, and this is my life, and I'm going to live it the way that I want to live it. That sounds good, that sounds great, but the reality is those people have no idea that really what they're saying is that they are being led by the God of this world. The prince and power of the air is the one who puts that sort of mentality in their mind, because I remember when God saved me, how I became all of a sudden so unwise. Now, all that I thought I knew just by getting saved and being introduced to a brand new world, and I realized I needed the helping hand of God to lead me and to guide me through this life and through this journey that we're on. And so this is where they're at, and it's also where we're at as Christian people. And so thank God that He guides and provides as we go. Because they stood in need of direction and God gave them this cloud to follow, the children of Israel came out of Egypt with no compass, no GPS, no map, nothing to tell them. They only had two things. And they had to make a choice based off of those two things which way they would go. Number one, they had a cloud of clarity above and beyond them. And number two, they had a cloud of emotion boiling up on the inside of them. And I say to you this afternoon that we too, there's clouds up in the sky, but those ain't the clouds, and that ain't how God operates in 2021. But we, like the children of Israel, we too have a cloud that God has given us, a cloud that will always be there, a permanent cloud, a cloud that will never, the Bible said that the grass will wither, and when the world is on fire and everything is gone, God's Word will stand, and God give us His Word as a cloud to guide us, as He gave the children of Israel a cloud to guide them. But then we too have a cloud of emotion that wants to dictate and to direct us and give us directions in life. That ain't changed a bit. The humanity that we were born in, that sinful nature that thinks we know best, that emotion that boils up on the inside of us, that cloud that wants to lead us is still there. It's the same thing that the children of Israel battled with back then. And I believe we'd all say amen to the fact this evening. It's best to follow the cloud of clarity. It's best to follow that divine cloud that God placed there and put there for the purpose of getting them to where He wanted them to go, to get them to avoid the dangers and the pitfalls. God knew if they was left to themselves and left to follow their own emotional cloud, and that they would fall time and time again. They would walk right into the enemy's camp, and they would walk right into the wolves, and over and over they would find themselves in trouble. And so God miraculously and divinely, with His sovereign wisdom, God graciously gave this cloud of clarity. And God has done that with us, with the Word of God, but also with the Holy Spirit of God. We have a cloud of clarity. Boy, ain't you glad? Ain't you glad this evening that you don't have to walk through life alone? Thank God we have a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Thank God that we have the Holy Spirit of God who will guide us into all truth. Ain't you glad God didn't just save you and say, well, make it on your own. Good luck. See you when you get to heaven. No, friend. He saved us and made us fit for heaven. But hallelujah, He gives us a cloud of clarity to lead us all the way home. The problem comes in when we conflict the two and we get our eyes off the cloud of clarity, the Word of God, and we shun the Holy Spirit of God, and we allow that cloud of emotion within us to boil up and take over. Now, I want to say, moving on, in life you will find that we are directed by one of two things: the presence of God as a cloud before us, or confusion, worldly wisdom, a personal insight that is often wrapped up in a cloud of emotion. How often do we get ourselves in a mess when we operate out of emotion? I won't go into detail, but this week I have been put in one situation after another, several, daily, more so than I've had in many, many months, one after another, where the room filled with emotion and had me and the other party, whether it be my wife or another church member or this or that, or a child, had we simply looked to the cloud of clarity and let the Word of God and the Spirit of God guide and direct us, oh, the outcome would have been so much different. The environment would have been so much different. But because we give in to our own ingenuity and we allowed emotions to rise and emotions to dictate the direction that we were going, it ended up way worse. And nobody was happy, and the outcome was good for nobody. But oh, when we allow God the Spirit guide and direct us, the outcome is always guaranteed success. And so between these two, we all have to make a choice. These people had been slaves 400 years. They didn't go anywhere but maybe to work, and they was not conditioned to make decisions for themselves, and now they're headed to out somewhere that they had never been, and no resources, no maps, etc., as we mentioned. And there's a cloud of emotion that has settled into their heart and their minds. But thank God that ain't the only cloud that settled in. Can you imagine? They're leaving the only place they ever knew. Remember what it was like when you were saved? The only life you knew was that old life. The only world you was acquainted with was the one that the devil rules and reigns, where sin prevails. And you was used to that. You understood that world. You had finally found your way and could navigate some way through that world. But when you got saved and then walked into this brand new world, boy, ain't you glad that the cloud of clarity settled in into your life, and there was a peace that settled in, and God made sure to let me know when He saved me. I came to guide you. I didn't just come to save you. I come to direct you. I come to order your steps. The Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and that comes from the cloud of clarity. And these people, overwhelmed, leaving the only place they had ever known. And by the way, that's why we should be very patient. I have people a lot of times say, "Preacher, why don't you deal with these people? I mean, My goodness, why would you let these people come to church dressed like that? And why would you? Why don't you teach them and tell them? And they need to be doing better. And did you hear what come out of their mouth? And on and on and on. Hey, could I say something to you? God bless you and God help me. Listen, when many of us have been saved a long, long time, and God's been working on us and whittling on us for a long time, you ain't always been like you are today. I ain't always been like I am today. I mean, hey, that old song I sang as a child and learned as a child, that God still, He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. Took Him just a week to make the sun and the stars. Hey, I'm just simply saying, be patient with people. Be patient with new converts. Give God time to work on them and lead them. And you listen, God ain't died and fell off His throne. God's, the Holy Ghost is going to work on them. He's going to teach and train them. Yes, we should in love help people and guide them and teach them and show them the way. But don't hurt people and be brash and bruise people just simply because they hadn't grown up quite as fast as you'd have them to. I'm saying these people were in a brand new world. They were out of their comfort zone. And that's what it's like when you get saved. Everything's brand new. Old things pass away, and behold, all things become new. And that's where they're at. And so God see to it that He's going to give them direction. The question must be answered. Will I follow the cloud of emotion within, or will I follow the cloud of clarity above and beyond? And whether you've been saved for 10 minutes or 10 years or 50 years, that same question is still posed to me and to you today. Tomorrow when you wake up, are you going to follow that cloud of emotion within you and be driven by what's within you? Or are you going to be led and follow the cloud of clarity? Don't matter how long you've been saved, you've got to wake up and answer that question every day. Many times a day. That's the two choices. The cloud above or the cloud within. They came out of Egypt, and it is with great power that God delivered them from Pharaoh. And in our text, God put the cloud above them and says to Moses, follow my presence. Stay with the cloud. If the cloud goes right, you go right. If the cloud goes left, then honey, put your blinker on and get ready to turn left. If the cloud stops, you stop. If the cloud moves, you move. God told the man of God that's how they would operate. And if they would do so, they would be successful and get where they were going. Now, it's just but a few verses later that the cloud of emotion begins to raise itself and raise its ugly head, and now it's time to make a decision. Do we follow the cloud of clarity, or do we live under the cloud of emotion? In Exodus chapter 14, listen, I mean, boy, they thought the world of Moses. Moses had just went before Pharaoh. Moses had just went to the highest in the land and said, set my people free. I come in the name of God, the God of heaven. And God said, let my people go. And so they thought Moses to be a mighty man, and a mighty man he was. But then they come up, and here comes Pharaoh and all the armies following after them to kill them, to do away with them. And boy, don't you just see, as those 1.5 to 2 million Jews, and they're fleeing, following Moses, following that cloud. And then here they come, and they come up, and there's a great gulf but in front of them. Listen to how quickly this changed. And when Pharaoh, this is chapter 14, verse 10, and when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes and beheld, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, because there was no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the world that is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me, speaking to the children of Israel, that they go forward? But lift thou up thy rod, and stretch out thine hand over the sea, and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. Anybody else, as we read that, anybody else just feel the emotional thunderstorm rising up on about 1.5 million Jews when all them chariots following, and then that emotion that's in their belly comes up through their mouth, and as it does with us, the Bible says, what wins a man's heart, it's going to come out of his mouth. And as those emotions begin to churn and to rise and build, and fear grip their hearts, they turn their fear into anger and turn toward the man of God who was simply trying to help them, who was simply trying to lead them to a better land, to lead them to a land where they'd be free, to lead them from a place to where they'd no longer be in bondage, and nobody promised it'd be an easy journey, but it was going to be a better place where they was headed. And so it is with the child of God. Hey, listen, I don't care what they tell you on TV. God never promised the Christian life was going to be a bed of roses. There's going to be hard days. We're not always going to get to come in and sit on padded pews and sit in an air-conditioning building. There's going to be hard days. You're going to get doctor phone calls with bad reports, just like the lost man does. The Bible says it rains on the just and the unjust. And just as soon as that happened, rather than keeping their attention and their focus and following the cloud of clarity, that cloud of emotion began to stir up in them. And they turned toward the man of God. And they said, we told you. Didn't we tell you? We told you it was going to get bad. We told you this wasn't going to work. We told you we'd been better off back in Egypt. Now, we have the benefit of reading this in a historical manner. We know what happened. We know where they ended up. But they was living in the moment. And oh, how easy it is. Let me just say this. How easy it is for us to watch somebody else's life and see hardship and heartache come, and for them to get that phone call and find out it's their wife, or for them to just like today, Kelly, I got the call, and Kelly got this COVID, and boy, that hurt my heart, and I hated that. My mind automatically began thinking of her family, and Steve got pre-existing conditions and all kind of other issues, and I thought, oh my. And then that little baby, and I was thinking how bad that could be, and then my mind went to the church, and I got to thinking how that could spread, and it was big and it was bad, but it was nowhere near as bad, I'm sure, to me as it was when she got the call. My point is simply this. It's easy to look at somebody else's problem and it be a whole lot smaller to you than it is to them. It's easy to sit down on a couch and watch a football game and see a man running down the field and he's wide open and the quarterback goes back and he's dropped back and he's looking and three men are covered and there's one wide open. You thinking, you fool, you big dummy, throw it to the man. He's wide open and he gets sacked. But what we don't want to come to grips with and understand and admit and be honest enough, we didn't have 300 or 400 pound men running to try to kill us while all that was going on in the midst of a play. I'm simply saying it's easy to sit on the couch and quarterback. It's a whole different story when you in the game and they're coming after you and they coming to damage and to harm you. And so we ought to learn to be a little patient and a little kind and a little long-suffering and have a little forbearance when other people's lives are in the pits, when other people's marriages are hitting rock bottom, when other people don't know if they're going to be able to make it another day, when other people are facing depression to the point they want to put a bullet to their head, when teenagers... Don't take it for granted. Don't say, oh, they just spouting off at the mouth. They just want attention. Please hear me. Please hear me. I don't have liberty to tell you this evening. But this very week, teenagers have tried their best to take their own lives. People we know. People we'd have never dreamed. People we'd have marked off and said they're seeking attention. Could I simply say that cloud of confusion, that cloud of emotion is way more powerful than we could ever give it credit to be. And until that thunderstorm of emotions begins rumbling and raging and that tornado and that Cat 5 hurricane of emotion begins going in your life, it's only then that you feel the power and the brunt of just how powerful that cloud can be. So please be kind. Please be patient with people. Please try to consider thyself, lest ye, the Bible says, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one, considering thyself. Because listen, it may be them today, and it may look small today, but I promise you, it could be you tomorrow. And when it is, you say, well, if God put a cloud, I mean, if God sovereignly put a cloud that showed them, how many of you ever said this? Boy, I wish God would just write the answer for what He wants me to do and just write it in the sky and make it plain. You ever wanted God to do that? God literally done that. God put a cloud in the sky that wherever it went was a surefire way for them to get where they needed to go. It was an absolute way to certain success. You say, well, my goodness, if God would do that for us, I wouldn't have no problem following God. If God would do that for me, I'd never fail to follow Him. You better go ahead and wave the white flag of surrender there because you are wrong. Way bigger than a cloud God put in the sky for the children of Israel. Way brighter. Way better than a cloud God put in the sky in the daytime and a pillar of fire by night for them to follow. God put Himself. God put His own Spirit within us. God put His own Word in our hand. There's nothing better. There's not anything that could be a more sure, steadfast, guaranteed way to success than what God has already given us. We have everything we need to get where we're going. And I'm not just talking about heaven. I'm talking about to get you to the job God wants you. I'm talking about to get you to the church God wants you in. I'm talking about to get you to the ministry God wants you serving in. I'm talking about to put you with the wife God wants you to have. I'm talking about to put you with the husband God wants you to have. I'm saying God give us His Word. God give us a cloud of clarity. And oh, how we need to run from the cloud of emotion that's within us and run to the cloud of clarity that's above and beyond us. Amen. This preaching outdoors was, I don't know how Brother Thrift done this. It's a wear you out. Y'all got to give me a drink of water. Hold on. Woo! Was that lightning? Y'all all right? I felt bad because I was making y'all sit in your car for so long, but it ain't but 5 after 8, And my excuse is usually I got to hurry up and let y'all parents go get your kids. But there ain't no kids over there, and y'all sitting in a padded car pew and got an air conditioner. So y'all got about 5 or 10 minutes. Y'all be all right, won't you? If you must go, you still know how to put it in drive, but I hope you'll hang with us just a minute. Fear, confusion, anxiety, worry set in when faced with the circumstances they thought was too big for them, and they thought they could not change. The cloud of clarity is still above them, but the cloud of emotion within them was just as convincing. And oh, how true. There ain't nothing you can do. There ain't nothing I can do. Tomorrow, when I wake up, me and you are going to be just as saved as we are today. The Son of God's going to be in me in the morning, living and abiding in me just like He is you, whether I wake up and read my Bible or not, whether I wake up and pray or not, whether I wake up and witness or not. Well, I'm saying He has saved me, He dwells in me, and He's going to dwell in me until I see Him, and He's going to dwell in you. So He's there, He's in us, Christ in you, the hope of glory. That He's in us. But here's the question. The cloud of clarity is still above them and beyond them, but when the enemy is coming, when the enemy is waging war, and I told you, he's doing that at Morningstar Baptist Church. He's got bullseyes on many, and it's serious and it's dangerous. And when the war gets hot and the bullets are flying, listen, it's then the cloud's still there. But the cloud in here seems to get bigger and bigger, and we tend to turn to that cloud away from that one. When in reality, the harder it gets, the hotter the battle gets, should make us turn more to the cloud, because it's that cloud that's going to lead us to success and victory. This cloud, the cloud of emotion, the cloud of confusion, the cloud that's inside of us, never has won. It never has helped us. It's always led us astray, and that one's never failed. So the harder it gets, hey, listen, a lot of people, they'll quit church when it gets hard. They'll quit on God when it gets hard. And they'll say, if that's how God's going to treat me, I'll just quit. Hey, can I say to you and encourage you tonight, the harder it gets, the harder you should run toward that cloud of clarity. Because even when it's hard, even when it looks like the odds are insurmountable, like there's no way we can win, there's a sea in front of us, an army behind us, there's no way out, but thank God there's a... Hey, listen, when there's a sea in front of us and an army behind us and mountains beside us and no way out, just remember there's a cloud of clarity above us and beyond us that will make a way when there is no way. Amen. Listen to this. One of the problems with following the clouds of emotion is that it will instinctively lead you to follow the cloud of people around you. Man, ain't that the truth. The more we follow the cloud in us, and we begin, because that cloud within us is confusing, and it'll get you walking in circles. And so the thing that we do is, rather than trust, because we don't really trust that cloud in us. We just, our emotions you can't trust. And so what we'll do is we'll look to the next person, and we'll look to the crowd who's going that way. And when we don't know what to do, we'll just say, well, I'll follow them. You don't believe me? Look at America. Look at what's going on in our country. Like sheep, we've been led through this whole COVID thing. Whatever the government tells us to do, as the masses began doing one thing, they'll say, hey, the scientists used to say, mask, there's no benefit to wearing a mask. I mean, the CDC, all the professionals say, before, just a year ago, they said they won't help you a bit. Matter of fact, they'll hurt you. And then it got politically correct, and so they started saying, wear a mask, and by the masses, people just started following other people, and it become this huge thing that everybody's supposed to wear a mask. That's just one example. I'm saying, listen, that inward emotion, that cloud of confusion on the inside of us will lead us to following other people. And when you follow the masses, could I remind you simply of this and move on? I wouldn't follow the masses. The masses are headed for hell. Broad is the way. Many there be that walk therein. Narrow is the way that leads. I'm just simply saying that that cloud of emotion will lead you to follow the groups, the crowds. When we operate out of emotion and not the Word of God, not the Holy Spirit, we default to what others around us are doing and how they are handling the distractions and the distresses and how they're handling the divisions and the divorces in their lives. So now we're no longer focused on the cloud of God, but we become confused with the cloud of emotion, and our default setting is to follow the crowd and let the crowd make our decisions for us, and we allow them to lead us. We're no longer leading ourselves. We're letting other people who don't have our best interests at heart. And we're simply letting them lead us by following them. Why follow a crowd who really don't know where they're going when we can follow the cloud of clarity who sets high above the heavens and knows the end from the beginning, and He knows how to get from here to there. He knows every pitfall, and He's leading and guiding with our best interests. So why follow the masses? Why follow the crowds when you can follow the cloud of clarity? If we have ever needed a day where people will stand in opposition to the crowd and keep their eyes on heaven's cloud, it's right now in 2021. Mamas and daddies, we're sending our children to schools, and they are filled with traps and snares and difficulties. I mean hardships that I don't believe most of us would be equipped to handle. Much less a developing mind, much less a young person that ain't even grown up yet, and we're sending them off to schools out into the world, and we need to teach and to train them that there's a cloud of clarity that they can follow. When the masses are going that way, when the teachers and the educators and all the kids and all the crowds say, the world's been here millions of years, and we come from monkeys, and it's okay for girls to like girls, and if you was born that way, hey, we better have some mamas and daddies that raise our children and have enough sense to do away with the emotions that are inside of us, the confused cloud that's inside of us, and we better train and take the time and teach our children, bring them to the house of God, and put it in their mind, there's a cloud higher than me. There's a cloud of clarity that they can follow and know that leads them right. These schools, they're minefields, literally. And if we don't teach them the truth and to think independently, leaning only upon the Word of God, we're going to produce a generation of kids who was taught and shaped and formed on the Word of God, but then send them in a direction where they'll follow the crowd. If we don't teach them that they better follow the crowd and it's okay to follow the crowd, dress like the crowd, think like the crowd, go where the crowd goes, miss church like the crowd, your events are more important than the house of God. Hey, we can tell them we love the Bible, we love Jesus, and we do. Hey, but when we operate off of our emotion and what we want rather than what God said and the cloud of clarity, we may tell them and teach them the Bible, but then we push them off into a crowd that's going to lead them to live by the cloud of emotion. And I say if there's ever been a time, we better train our children to be independent and that it's okay to think independent and live by the leading of the cloud of clarity, the cloud of God, the Spirit of God, the Word of God is in this day. The problem with following the cloud of your emotion and the cloud of your friends is you don't really know where you're going. If you following them, most of them don't know where they're headed. And we're just like the blind leading the blind. I'm going to skip to the end and be done. True direction comes from the crowds around us, but true directions don't come from the crowds around us, but from the cloud above us. Verse 21 said, before them in the day to lead them in the way. Verse 22 said, he took not away the pillar of cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. Hey, understand and know, you got some friends, I got friends I grew up with I thought would be there from now till the day I die. And I ain't talked to some of them in years and years and years. But there is a friend named Jesus who, like that pillar and like that cloud, he said it'll be there permanently. Jesus will never leave you. He'll never forsake you. You don't never have to worry about him calling in sick. You don't ever have to worry about his line being busy. You can always, always have a friend in Jesus who will always be there to lead you. When you don't know which way to go, I promise you, look to the cloud. He'll give you clarity. Amen. The cloud was out in front of them and the cloud was already where they were going. Think about that. It was out in front of them, but it was already where they were going. What do you mean by that? The thing you have to trust about the sovereignty of God is that He ain't leading us haphazardly or just winging it or playing it by ear. No, my friend. He's the God of heaven. He's the sovereign God of the universe. He knows it all. There's nothing that ever occurs to God. He knows how it's all going in. He knows what your tomorrow holds. He's already in your tomorrow. So sure you can trust Him. Sure you can follow Him because He's already there. You don't have to worry about tomorrow. Like the old song says, why should I worry? He's not figuring it out as He goes. No, He's the eternal God. He's not trapped by segments of time. But He's already in mind in your tomorrow. And knowing that, why wouldn't we trust Him? That if He's already there, He knows way better than we to lead us where we need to go. So the cloud of clarity is ahead of us. But by its own nature, it's also above us. So God, who puts clouds of clarity to lead us, sits high above the heavens, and He sees things that we cannot see. His ways are above our ways. And so what may seem like a good path to us, He knows. He sees the pitfalls, and He leads us around. He can see the dangers that to us look like the most convenient path. And sometimes we'll look to God and say, well, Lord, this looks like the easiest way. And God will say, no, I want you to go around this way. Because God knows the pitfalls. God knows the enemies lurking. So trust God even when it's taking longer. Even when it's a harder road to hoe. Even when it's climbing uphill all the way. Just know God ain't punishing you. God ain't hurting you. There's a God in heaven who knows it all. And He's got your best interest. And He loves you enough to lead you not just to heaven but all the way home. I got way more to preach, but I am preached out. I love you. God bless you. You at liberty. Good night. Amen. Amen.